nightmare.
All right. All right. Yeah. I think it's going.
Got it.
Yeah.
We're good.
Everyone do some things into the mic for a second. Make sure it's going again.
Say something, man.
Hello. Hello. Yeah, I'm here. I am here. Audibly here.
Yeah. All right. I got nothing to say.
All right, cool. Looks like it's working. We're doing the podcast again. Here we are. I gotta piss.
go.
Nice.
I should just go now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Just go now.
All right, yeah.
We'll take over. We'll drive from here for all a right, second.
Yeah. So anyway, you guys yeah.
All right.
You guys introduce it this time.
Here we go. All
right. Dude, I'm holding on to the mic, dog.
Yeah, hater, bro. He's wearing Carhartt pants. This man did not get off a job site today. In fact, he didn't have work today. He always got a hammer loop for nothing.
So, Frazier, so this is the podcast once again.
This is the pod. Last pod, we edited it out. We talked about movies.
Yeah.
For probably 45 minutes.
Yeah, 45 minutes straight.
And I got to edit it out. But it did end with a lot of topics coming back to Martin Scorsese.
Yep.
And abruptly, I think I threatened Martin Scorsese. But I thought at that time that I would never get to see him or even be near him. But yesterday morning,
did you know?
My friend, she texted me and said, "You're going to go see Martin Scorsese tonight." And I said, "Of course." Little did I know, she was serious. And then I had to go to 92nd Street Y, and there was a shitload of security, and I didn't know how fucking protected this guy was.
Well, I mean, like, he's an American treasure, dog.
He's got, like, so much security.
He's absolute cinema.
It's crazy. Like, there was literally double doors. There was police
quiet. Jake's back.
Hey, Jake, dude. Coming dude. In, just, like, fucking it up.
Yeah, just, he's ruining the Scorsese flow.
The Scorsese flow, bro.
Cape Fear.
And I'm going to say his name wrong, too. Scorsese. Sazy, like Swayze. Shouts out. Patrick Swayze is probably a better filmmaker if he was given a chance.
But yeah,
there was cops everywhere, and he has private security. And there is even,
security. So we're back to... So welcome to the podcast. We're doing it again. It looks like about... 7 people listened to the last one. Thank you to those 7. We'll call those.
That's pretty good. I thought it was gonna be me.
Those are good numbers. My mom listened to it, and she said,
"Shout out, Mama Hargrove."
She said it was insightful. I said, "Thank you, Mom." A couple notes from the last show from our 7 listeners.
They gave some critiques.
Yeah,
hell yeah.
First note is for Frazier. Said, "Quit interrupting Jake."
I'm gonna interrupt Jake, dude. Jake is not an insightful.
Don't interrupt Jake. And that's kind of it. What are you guys talking about?
Frazier was talking about his experience in being close to Martin Scorsese.
Got to see the man.
What were you doing last night?
Oh, we already went over this, but you're gonna have to. This will be editing magic.
I think we'll probably. Yeah, we'll go over it again.
All right.
Anyway, so welcome to the podcast.
Yes, it all started yesterday morning.
So
I got a fucking text saying, "You want to go see Martin Scorsese tonight?" And I said, "I bet." And then I didn't know that they were serious. So then me and my friend had to go see Martin Scorsese. But while I was there, this motherfucker is heavily protected.
Yeah.
That's what I was noticing off rip, was just immediately the amount of police, the amount of private security, and the amount of, like, employees who they hired extra security too for crowd control, which actually did come in handy, because one guy fucking spazzed out, jumped up and started being like, "Martin, I have a question, Mr. Martin," which also you don't call someone Mr. and then their first name. That's just fucking insane.
Yeah, it's stalker vibes.
Yeah, but Martin Scorsese played it pretty smart. He wouldn't even make eye contact with the guy. He just looked at his shoes. Because he's like a 5'2", like, he's worse. He's older than a grandfather at this, like,
yeah.
He's old.
He's an elder.
He's a real old guy.
What was the context of this? What was he doing?
What was it? The movie, like, Killers of the Flower Moon?
Have you seen it?
No.
Oh, wait. It was a 90-second and Y. That's a picture that you sent in the chat.
Yeah, it was a 90-second and Y interview. I think it was being filmed.
Yeah.
He's pretty cool. He's kind of a... He just gave very, like, easy answers. It seems like,
they're
all
softball questions anyway.
He's done with...
He's kind of on the way out, right?
Yeah, dude. He's not trying to start a confrontation or, like, a...
That's not... It kind of is.
Anything.
Though, right?
Yeah, like, he confronted all of Disney.
The only time we hear from him anymore is when he's...
Shitting on Marvel movies, I guess.
Marvel movies.
Yeah.
Well, but then he, like, still, like, makes, like, these, like, 3-hour... Like, they're so long.
The Departed could be a Marvel movie. Just saying.
Yeah. Yeah. Is Jack Nicholson Thor or
the Departed
Hulk?
Is basically a Marvel
Jack
movie.
Nicholson's a cartoon character in that movie.
At that point, he was,
The whole movie, he's, like... 100% not a real, even close to like a gangster based in nonfiction sense.
Oh yeah, and then I saw this awful movie by him in the '80s. It's called The Night of or something. It was fucking so bad.
With Jack Nicholson?
No, it was a Scorsese.
Oh, it was a Scorsese?
Yeah, it was awful. It was a good Q&A.
Yeah, dude, the Q&A was great. Yeah. He wouldn't talk or take questions like the normal way, so everyone had to write down on which I guess is easier, index cards.
Yeah.
I didn't write anything down. I had nothing to ask him.
Did you ask, like, is your hip fake or not?
How easy would it be to fuck you up, bro? I'm coming.
He might actually kind of dig that shit.
I'm gonna fuck you up.
Dude, his security was too tough. They were fucking huge.
Dude, I think it's
get shot.
Dude, these guys they're just all fucking old. I think a lot older than everyone's willing to accept. I worked at this restaurant in the West Village for a little while, and De Niro came in, and we were all, like, in the back, and someone was like, oh, dude, De Niro's here, De Niro's here. I was like, holy shit, dude, I want to see fucking De Niro. And I walked out into the dining room, and I was, like, ready to, like, see God. And it was just an old guy. Like, I was so disappointed. I was like, damn.
Oh, yeah.
Just fucking old.
I realized I could never, like, pick out Martin Scorsese in, like, a Manhattan crowd.
Not even
I would
with
just
those eyebrows?
Right by him. Yeah, dude, even with the eyebrow. He's really small, and he's just, like, he's fully grandpa'd out.
Yeah.
He kind of hobbles and shit, so you just breeze right by him.
He is small.
He's, not that he's just small, he's slow, too. He's, like, full grandpa, like, speed.
Yeah.
He, like, curls. The chair looked big on him, I will say that.
I got another note from the audience for this last podcast.
Do you really get notes? He's making up notes, bro. He's making up notes.
You're doing some passive-aggressive critique.
You have to think this long.
So, here's another note. They said that, one of my friends said, oh, dude, you guys should just be funny.
Dude, good fucking luck with that.
Yeah, I was like, what are you talking? I was like, what do you mean? He's like, oh, dude, you guys tried to get all, like, smart about it at the end. You guys should just be funny. And I was like,
I agree with that.
Yeah. And then I think my girlfriend said, like,
why'd she listen to it?
Dude,
she hears you enough.
Yeah, serious. My wife refuses to listen to this.
Oh, for sure.
She said, well, what was the point of it? And I was like, "What do you mean?" And she said, it seemed a little, you know, what were you trying to do?"
All right. Well, girlfriend critiques don't count, so we're getting past that one.
We get past that one. But other than that, I think the 7 people that listen to it are really into it.
Well, it's not like a true crime podcast. There's no point. Do we want to research a topic and then all come in and have different angles on it?
Yeah, that would be kind of cool.
It's fucking work.
Yeah.
God. I prefer not working.
Yeah.
It's kind of nice.
So far, this is good, I think. We're pretty swagged out.
What would you research if you wanted? Like, what's a topic you've been dying to talk about? That you fucking can put some heavy,
put some heavy
thought behind. Yeah.
Nothing, dude.
Nothing.
Literally.
The Afghan war.
Yeah.
Not even there. He did that, didn't they?
They already. It's already ended.
Already a podcast.
Damn, dog. You're like a year and a half late on that one.
missed that boat.
Missed that one.
Oh.
We're going to talk politics.
Let's talk about politics.
Let's talk about politics. Trump won in New Hampshire.
Oh, yeah. The boy won again.
Yeah.
He's 2-0.
Yo, everyone, yeah, thanks, New Hampshire repping, dude. I literally logged on to HBO Max, and it was like, watch the New Hampshire primaries, and they're just like, Donald Trump is going to take New Hampshire, and just a bunch of dumb fucking dudes in Concord, New Hampshire, be like, fuck yeah. This is me.
And then you have John Cain, like, going through every single district in that thin-ass state, just going like, all right, and with his beautiful hair. I will say, he has a beautiful hair, but he has kind of like a John Updike smile.
Yeah.
He kind of looks like John Updike without, like, kind of like the scraggly nose. And you just, you see John Cain, and he just goes through every district as if he's driven through each and every, like, corner store.
Yeah.
Throughout the entire nation. And it's kind of cool to be like, all right, and this population is this, and this population is that. Like, I can understand that a lot of people would be like, I'm kind of impressed by him. I understand a lot of, like, producers would, like, feed shit into his ear. But you still have to process a lot, and you still have to kind of, like, know a lot to really think on the fly, particularly if, like, you know, shit, like, goes sideways.
Yeah. Well, here's a...
It's gonna go.
Here's a...
It's gonna go super sideways.
It's already sideways. It's about to be belly up.
It's over, dude. It's so over. Yeah.
What's over? No. The primary or like
I'm so
America?
Fucking nihilistic, bro.
Well, yeah, I'm not even nihilistic. I think I'm pretty opportunistic. I'm pretty optimistic. I think I'm a pretty opportunistic guy.
yeah.
No, but I guess I mean here. This thing is over. This thing is so over, right? Like I don't even know like why you bother with anything.
Yeah,
real sunny disposition we got there.
He's not even nihilistic. It's just like voting doesn't count really. I mean, you're never gonna change anything. All your officials are gonna be completely fucking dinosaured by the time they're ever gonna get to an elected office.
Or they lie.
Or they lie
your way to the top, like fucking John Fetterman.
Shout out Fetterman, bro.
Yeah, shout out JF.
Fetterman, bro.
The Fetterman in my Letterman.
To the true, yo, a true man wearing Carhartt and not living up to it.
Oh, yeah, dude. No, he did exactly what a guy in a Carhartt and beanie would do.
No, those guys would go to work.
Yeah. Dude, not in Williamsburg.
Yeah, he's the...
You're
yeah.
the climbing gym.
Dude, John Fetterman.
Let's talk about the climbing gym, okay?
What's the climbing gym?
So, so I joined the climbing gym. This week.
Yeah, he has an Arc'teryx jacket.
I got Arc'teryx jackets. I'm at the climbing gym. I was thinking like I had really been putting off the climbing gym for probably a year. You know, I was always like, yeah, I mean like it'd be fun, but I don't wanna be like that guy, like I have this vision of myself as like not a, you know,
not a climber,
yuppie climber, and I think it comes in this like gentrifying guilt, right? But I was in there and I was like, dude, of course I love this. Of course I'm at the climbing gym. I'm having a ball. Everyone looks like me. Everyone's got a mustache, and like, maybe I should just accept that. Like, it doesn't make it any worse, I guess.
Yeah, it's like a real kind of like white thing to just be like, yeah, climbing rocks is fun.
No, Asian people love it too.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. Yeah. Fair.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, it's like for a place like Brooklyn where there's, like, as you said, gentrification, it seems like it would be, it's only fitting for a subset of the cat community to be down for something that, like, people did to survive, like, 200 years ago.
Yeah.
Got you there. So what you're trying to say, that shit's whack as fuck and it's dumb.
I don't think it's whack as fuck if it makes you healthy.
Why not makes you healthy? Being a part of your community makes you healthy. How
oh,
about
yeah.
that?
That's what I'm talking about.
Way to go. Cheers to that, gentlemen. Being a part of your community makes you healthy. Chin-chin, folks.
Gentrifying.
He goes to the ceramic studio in Bushwick, which is...
Of course
the,
I do.
...a pivotal part of the community.
It is. I see the whole community in there. Shouts out. Paramo Studios. Fire.
Yeah.
Great spot. Yeah, dude. You don't think every walk of life wants to make ceramics? You'd be very surprised. It is almost all females, though, I will say.
So not every walk of life.
So I'm gay. But anyway. It's not. It's probably like 80-20. But it is. It's every fucking walk of life for sure. It's a lot of different people. I mean, like, the woman I was working with today, she's definitely from, like, Japan. Does not really speak English. Just like a little old Japanese woman who works on the wheel. And it's very, it's a full range. Full range, but it is gentrification, of course, because none of these people have fucking, none of these people have been here for more than like 5 years. Or 10 years even. Right. But, no, 100%. I mean, the woman who owns it, she's like a nice Ukrainian lady.
Oh, okay.
So like,
shout out Ukraine.
Shout out Ukraine, bro.
Shout out.
Actually, no, shout out. Russophile status, bro.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Let's go, Russia. Bring it home.
Frazier, elaborate on that. You've since become a real heavy supporter of the Russian
I'm just
in the Crimea. Yeah. So.
I'm just trying to go against the flow of young people. I think everyone was too hyped on it.
Yeah.
And now I'm just trying to, you know, the only people you'd call Russophiles are like 40 plus watching Fox News. I'm trying to bring like a younger non-political side to just be like, Russia's dope.
Yeah.
Even though it's not.
That
place sucks.
That was,
no, it's bad.
That was an interesting moment.
America's bad too.
That was 2 years ago, 3 years ago that started up.
2 years ago.
And it was like, it's really interesting because it was right at the end of the Afghan War, right? Like we'd just concluded 20 years of occupation in the Middle East, and the general consensus was like America's not into war anymore. Like, we're not fucking with it. We, like, that was it. You can't trick us to do it again.
Yeah.
And then
this one is the last one for sure.
While we're like, under lockdown, they're like, they're never gonna trick us again, bro. I swear. They're never gonna get us.
And then a month went by. And like you all, and then right back to like soccer moms posting like fucking kill them like, on Facebook.
I support the Azov Battalion.
The funniest thing was,
dude,
like,
so fucking bloodthirsty. It's incredible.
To 2016, there was the most articles about Ukraine being like a racist shithole, and like people like they would launder money and that they were up to no good and they were just fucking like barely people. And then.
Fucking Zelensky sold off almost all of their farmland. Yeah. Literally almost all of their fucking farmland. What do you think is going to fucking happen to those people?
That's why I'm a Russophile now.
Yeah. And it's like...
And he's like a fucking hero.
Yeah, well, because it's all this... Yeah, it's all this, like, hollow attempt to, like, justify, like, just American bloodlust. Because, I mean, I think, like, legitimately that we live in, like, the most evil country of history. And I think that, like...
Prove it, dude.
Prove it, come on.
And, dude, we are, like... And I think the only thing that, like, activates us is blood.
I mean, how many...
And, like, we have to, like, stand this, like, Zelensky guy, and he's, like, we're like, oh, he's a fucking hero, dude. He's, like,
5 feet tall and fat. Like...
And he was a comedian, too. This motherfucker was a comedian in a movie where he ran as the president of Ukraine, wins in the movie, and then he runs for president because everyone thought, wouldn't that be funny that this guy wins the election? And then he did, and then Putin probably saw that and was like,
probably fuck him up, dude. Look at him.
We'll probably have him.
Can't even ride a horse, bro.
We can probably go ahead and get that one.
Yeah.
You definitely do.
And the thing is, and then, like, then we just pumped them with javelin missiles.
Yeah.
And we're still pumping them with javelin missiles.
Well, because, I mean, it's a massive industry that's just, like, built on some conflict does have to be going somewhere. It can't all go into R&D. Like, some of it has to, like, someone's got to get blasted, right? Like, Raytheon Technologies does have to exist.
Yep. Or does it?
No, I mean, it doesn't. I remember I went to a party in Boston when I was dating an engineer at the time. And, we walked in and like every single person there worked for either Raytheon or Lockheed Martin or Boeing. It was like, it was,
man, the big three.
It was crazy. Yeah. I was like, and they're all just like
fucking twerps.
Yeah. Do you think any of them was a drone operator?
No. Well, that was the thing. I was like, oh, like, what do you do? Like, talking to people. And they're like, oh, like, I do, like defense stuff, like satellite registration.
Oh, speaking in the most generalistic of
terms.
Yeah.
I was like, who in here is doing the missile stuff? Like, who here is catching bodies?
And no one was ready for to claim it. But I think that is kind of, like, the
like, that's, like, the American industry problem, right? Like,
everything is built in this, like, convoluted way in which no one feels responsible, but terrible things keep happening. Right?
Yeah.
Like, these people at Raytheon Technologies, like, they don't actually identify with, like, destroying people from the sky because it's not their department.
They dissociate.
Yeah. But it's, like, you still work there.
Yeah, you still work there. You're still part of something. Like, I used to have a tutor when I was a kid, and I was really stupid, and still am very stupid.
Yeah.
And I didn't have, like, any, like, ability to kind of, like, study or focus, and this woman, like, really helped me out. She was an administrative assistant at the CIA headquarters, and I'm pretty sure she was the admin to John Dulles.
That's fire.
And, like, she basically was talking about how, I remember her saying it so definitively, that the only thing that makes America's economy really go, like, go big, 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 is if we are involved in a war. Like, if we're involved in a war, like, we're actively putting boots on the ground. Because it happened in World War II. Everyone wants to talk about how great the New Deal was. But if we didn't have a war that simultaneously happened, the New Deal would be considered just as great of a idea, but not as well applied as, like, Lyndon B. Johnson's Great Society programs.
Yeah.
Like, that's the thing. Like, we've created, like, this proxy war. Like, we have no evil to rally behind unless they're, like, an ideology that goes against what, quote-unquote, America believes, and is just some bullshit. It's just some bullshit Anglo-Saxon or Anglified Protestant Christian bullshit that has nothing to do with how America was founded. It has everything to do with just an industry and some sort of smokescreen that we put up. So, yeah. You know what? Frasier, I'm kind of down with the whole Russophile.
Russophile's fire, bro.
Yeah. Man, I've convinced myself.
It's easy to convince yourself of being like, I just don't care anymore. Just stop. Just stop doing whatever we're up to. And then it's like, I'm just going to push back, actually. I think it's funny now. Because it's gotten to the point where it's just like, I mean, at least in my perspective, you're just like, it's so much terrible shit. You're just like, I'm just going to try to go for the funny, more jabbing angle and just be the fucking, play the devil's advocate.
Yeah. Well, I guess it's like, I mean, the thing that I was thinking about saying when I said we're fucked and it's all over and everything sucks was also just kind of like couched in like, how do you like bother to make anything right now, you know? If it's
are you having trouble? Are you having trouble like
I'm fine.
Jake. I'm are you fine. No, but seriously, are you having trouble like are you having trouble like creating and like writing stuff right now, or you feel like you're like paralyzed by the concept of?
No, not even, but it does feel pretty useless sometimes, right?
Yeah, it is.
Feel like Sisyphus, you know, sometimes.
You just can't
hack it.
It's all about your attitude.
It's all in your head,
you gotta
bro.
This podcast.
It's all in your fucking head, man.
Yo, if we didn't have this podcast, where would we be? 2 weeks ago, where would we be?
Yeah. Oh, man. Now that we got this podcast, dude,
maybe we should start getting guests.
I'd be drawing pictures. I think I'd
I'd more or less doing the same thing.
I don't know, dude. I think it's, if you just know, I can't say not to think about it just because that's terrible advice, but
yeah, just chin up, dude.
Just like keep your chin up, bro. Fucking put your boots on 1 foot at a time and just fucking just be the man.
Clock in, dude.
Be the fucking man you want to be, bro. You wake up at 4 a.m., hit the ice bath.
Well, that's all that's left in terms of the pursuit of fulfillment is you like ideally were like born with a brain that kind of like caps out at a certain IQ point, and all that you can really do or entertain is like the thought of tracking your macros and doing ice baths.
Yeah.
At least that's the male perspective. I don't really know what the
the
ideal woman.
Well,
gets to think about.
Bro. Yeah. He got tricked. No, all those people are fucking shysters, dog.
Yeah, they're all you can't, I mean, hucksters.
Yeah. Well, I wonder about, like, are those people just down for that?
Goggins, Huberman, all those people are fucking not. I mean, Jocko, bro, those people are just trying to fucking sell you bullshit. Yeah. None of that shit's actually like a
Gary,
impactful.
Or like a Gary Vaynerchuk. That dude makes more money off of going to conferences and seminars and charging out the ass on some bullshit that he's saying that you have to hustle. But I'm sorry, dude. I didn't have a parent that gave me like 500K seed money to help make a wine house.
Exactly.
Like, it's like you already had like not generational wealth. And I'm like, the dude works hard. I'll say the dude works hard. All these guys that we just like talked about, just they work hard.
Alex Jones, grinder, dude.
Yeah, Alex Jones is separate from them. Shouts out Alex Jones. He's number one.
Shout out Alex Jones. I don't agree with anything that you said,
that
but
I'll bring
you out. I'll bring you out.
He fucking grinds, dude. Bro. That work ethic.
Alex Jones grinds heavy, bro.
He invented chemicals in order to grind hard.
He did. No, it's the same shit though. It's like Andrew Tate heads are exactly the same as David Goggins heads or Huberman heads or Jocko heads. Even though they think they're all different, they're all exactly the same. They're just being tricked by some fucking, by literally just a scam. A snake oil salesman is just tricking them. And for some, I mean, they give all these points, but it always will end with, and here's an ad from like fucking Green Athletics or some shit like that. There's going to be a supplement you have to buy to be better.
My favorite is Ty Lopez. That's my favorite one.
Dude, he's still around.
He's the Lamborghini guy, bro.
Yes, he's still around. Yeah, here I am in my garage with my Lamborghini. That dude was
he's
so
kind of
sick.
The OG. He's still doing it.
He's still doing it. Like he really plateaued because people realized that he was just stealing money in a legal way.
Yeah.
And it was like the most blatant out of all.
I give it up to him for pulling the hipster angle first, and he was the first guy to do it. And with the hipster glasses and the coiffed hair and all that shit,
and the Lamborghini,
people looked up to that. Back, you couldn't do that now. People would be like, "Soy beta man," type shit. They would be like, "Where's Jocko?" Fucking real, like you
give me Jocko
monkey.
I want that speech where he says "good" after he's going. You've just broken your leg in the middle of in the middle of the woods, and you have no cell service. Good,
that's good, dude. I guarantee that Jocko probably has the equivalent in like intelligence to like probably the smartest ape and or monkey. There's no way.
Like, so he's Caesar? Is
like,
he Caesar?
He's just king. He's literally just a hairless ape. That's all Jocko is.
Yeah.
But aren't we all, Frasier?
That's probably
are not. I don't believe in evolution, bro.
I believe in Russia. I don't believe in evolution.
I don't fucking believe that shit, bro. Dinosaurs aren't real. And now you're gonna hit me with evolution?
Yeah.
Never.
Never.
Never. Dinosaurs actually aren't real, which is very funny.
Like, the way that we look at them.
The way that we look at them and arrange them, those aren't actual dinosaur bones or anything in any museum. Those are all artificially made by some shithead art director that I aspire to be. He's like, yeah, just fucking put it together. Let's make a big thing. I want this shit over 30 feet.
Yeah.
Like, it's not real. Like, dinosaur bones.
You gotta fill the space.
Are, like, in fragments, and they're kept in, like, lock boxes in the basements of museums, so that's, like, heavily guarded. All that shit's kind of, like, our interpretation or fantasy of what could really exist.
Yeah, like, what's the one with, like, the flat face that kind of, like, it has, like, the horns in the middle? It's, like a rhino with, like, one of those, like, lizards. I think it's, like, a brontosaurus or something. That doesn't exist.
It doesn't exist at all. It's never
like,
existed.
It never existed. And the idea of, like, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, it was just a scavenger.
Yeah.
It was those little tiny little arms. It was just a scavenger.
Like, look at an alligator or a crocodile. That's probably a more realistic depiction of a dinosaur than in any museum. Yeah, or a bird. Yeah, a vulture. A vulture is a fucking dinosaur.
Yeah.
It's kind of a fucked thing to be like, oh, shit, dinosaurs aren't real? Nah.
Well, everyone's like, oh, they had scales because they were all like basically reptilian. Like, most of them had feathers.
The feathers.
Yeah,
people don't talk about the feathers.
They were all peacocking.
Exactly.
A lot of dinosaurs had feathers, dude.
A lot of dinosaurs had feathers, but there's also zero way to actually prove that.
Yeah.
There is zero way to prove that.
I don't believe any actual scientific mind.
Natural history museums are kind of the OG Alex Jones.
They are 100%.
Yeah, dude, buy a ticket, dude. This is actually what they used to look like.
When you realize that almost every, like, scientific leap we've made other than, like, a couple. Like, penicillin, like, that was one that was huge.
Yeah.
But quite a few other ones were just straight Alex Jones theories of people being like, hey, dude, I got my credentials. This is what this shit looks like. Me, dude? And then just like, I don't fucking know, dude. You're just fucking guessing.
Yeah.
It's a theory. It's a theory, so it's not 100%.
It's always that's always the good out.
End it with a theory, bro.
It's always the good out.
You can just be like, that doesn't mean it's 100%.
That's what,
or it's even close to 1%.
That's why I think Newton was low-key an idiot, because he goes like, "Oh, it's the theory of gravity." No, yeah. We know it exists.
Yeah.
We know that it is like the universal thing. It's the universal thing. It's the one thing that's guaranteed.
Mm.
And besides our own deaths. Like, and but he's like, no, it's a theory. Because what? Because he wanted to have it like be like, oh, scientific. Like, no, just buy in, dog.
Yeah.
Just prove him buy
right.
in.
Yeah, the scientific community is the original, like,
Alex Jones.
Patreon.
Jones of the world.
Yeah, like, buying. Yeah, you gotta buy credentials, basically, to...
Well, yeah, that's
be allowed
it.
To make shit up, dude.
Your family has enough money so you can buy credentials. Say you're an actual like contributing factor to society, and then you get a medal sometimes.
Yeah,
and then the shiny thing makes you even bit like a better fucking word, which is not.
Yeah, dude, we're digging a hole with this one. Yeah, we like don't really believe in science. I think last podcast I kind of went on a COVID rant.
Anyway,
you didn't go on a COVID rant. You went on a rant that you thought
it's about culture.
It was about culture.
It's about culture.
It's culture. I don't think you covered all the bases. Properly.
I covered all the bases, dude.
I'm tired today.
I feel like I'm not feeling super smart or super funny, and now I'm kind of coming at everyone's knees.
If I was a better host,
I would take the opportunity. Frazier.
you almost destroyed the studio.
I would take the opportunity to let my co-hosts shine and rap, but
and that's on me, dude.
It's an art form. We're learning it. We're learning. The podcast is an art form.
This is not art. Anybody who says a podcast is art, this is at least the lowest form of art, even if it could be considered.
Yeah. Art.
It's not art.
So I was at the climbing gym.
Yeah, that's art, bro.
People are good at climbing. I'm not good at climbing. I was sharing a route with this woman. And we were trying to figure it out. And, the climbing gym is a good place for socializing. Anyway, I was like, all right, like, you know, I got to make this, like, not seem like a flirt. But I also, like, am enjoying, like, working on this climbing thing with her. But obviously, like, if you're, like, chatting at the I think the climbing gym's a pretty horny place. I think people
are, yeah, of course it is.
Yeah.
The feet smell alone. If you're into feet, bro, take up climbing.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm sitting there, we're talking about this route that's giving us difficulty, and then I see this guy that works there. He kind of eyes us from across the gym. And he's got like Willie Nelson braids in and like skinny jeans on. And he just sort of looks pretty nerdy. And he comes over and he starts talking to my climbing mate. And, you know, at some point he's like, he kind of like eyes me, and he like puts his arm over her. And I was like, dude, what's going on? Like, you're good. Like,
whoa.
Like, I think he like thought I was trying to, cause like, I mean, if you're sharing a ride with a girl, and now listen, this is my first day, so I don't really know the politics, but maybe that's, I mean, I think that's kind of the...
Yeah. It sounds like your girlfriend's going to break up with you and then you shouldn't go to the climbing gym anymore. Yeah.
I got to cut. So we're going to cut this part?
Nah. Like, but was it because, do you think that, like, you thought thought you were, like, trying to make a move, or what?
I think so, dude. He got, like...
And he was, like, trying to be, like, protective, being like, no, this is a safe space. This isn't you're trying to go get some ass.
Not
this is
even.
A place where we
he
climb.
Just, like... No, he was, like, trying to show me, like, this is my girl,
almost.
Dude.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
This is my girl, and I work at the climbing gym, by the way, so I'm good as fuck at climbing. And I was, like... I was pretty stunned by it. I was like, yeah, dude, like...
I'm not climbing your fucking window, bro.
Yeah, it sucks, like, trying something new and being bad at it in, like, a public setting. And then also, like, someone kind of, like, being good at it and not liking you there. And I was like, damn, dude, these people fucking...
Dude, that's classic, like, ski mountain politics.
Yeah.
Like, back in the 80s. That's so stereotypical of, like, a... a chat coming up to you and be like, check yourself, bro. Where you think you are on the wall, bro? You think this is your girl, dude? Yo, let's have a race right now.
Yeah.
Let's go down the K25.
Like, yeah, if you win, bro, you can have her, but I doubt it.
I got absolutely cooked at the climbing gym today. Fuck. And I wasn't even, like, I, like, have a girlfriend. I wasn't even trying to mag, but, like, the, it still felt like an insult. I was like, you know, leave me alone. You know, I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm obviously not a threat. You could just see me climb here.
I'm trying my fucking hardest, dude.
I can't
break. I'm mad sensitive, dude. Leave me alone.
My hands are bleeding right now.
So do you think you're going to go back to the climbing gym? Or has that guy scared you away?
No, dude, I'm going back. I bought shoes.
You have to. Double down.
Are you going to try to, like, go around his schedule just so you don't get sunned again?
No.
No, dude. I think I'm going to try to, like, buddy up to him.
No, fuck that, bro. You show up in shorts, leggings.
You outclimb him. You beat him at his own game.
There's no chance I outclimb him.
You have to race him.
These guys are so good at
climbing. That's the only way to take the mountain back. You gotta fucking beat him in a climbing race.
Yeah, take the 30-foot mountain back.
Yeah, take it back, bro.
Yeah.
Take it back. Well, I guess
I didn't want to. Yeah, I think that place is just too charged up. Everyone is climbing. And everyone is, I think any social interaction is, you gotta be careful in there, man. I don't know about all that.
Is it like a bathhouse politics sort of thing?
Maybe.
Yeah.
You're allowed to, like, jerk off and shit in the, like, most steam rooms, though. I mean, that's pretty chill.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's
true. Like, what if it's...
There's a community.
What if you're, like, hanging out with, like, a dude and, like, you went into a place together, like, you went into the steam room together.
Yeah.
And then somebody, like, tries to, like, sun you like that. Is that, like, okay?
In the steam room?
In the steam room? No, one's sunning you.
I'm jerking off in here.
I'm jerking off in the... If I'm first in the steam room...
I'm the best at jerking off.
I'm already jerking off in the steam room.
Let me clarify. It's like, no, like, you're with somebody.
And that's all the bros, dude. Those are the guys, dude. That's just straight. Just some dogs at a fucking dog park just marking their territory.
Yeah. But what if that territory is, like, the other person's butt? Like,
no.
Nah.
Well, then you just got to be like, who came in first?
Because
you could have made the decision. If you come into the steam room, you see a guy jerking off in there, you make the conscious decision being like, I can put up with this. Or you're like, I'm going to also jerk off.
Yeah.
Or you can leave.
Or you have, like, an
That's
Eastern
true. Yeah, I think it's not as much sport in there.
You can get competitive, though.
Right, like that's kind of like, is there, like, some sort of competitive vibe? I've never been to a steam room.
It's like a
steam room that is those types of steam rooms.
I've only been in
a YMCA steam room, which very well might be the same thing, but I didn't know.
I went to the Russian Turkish bathhouse in the East Village during man hours about a year ago, and they got it, like, marked, like, one, like, or open to 4 p.m. is all male hours. And I was walking in, and I guess I, like, paid, and maybe they just knew that I hadn't been in there before, and or maybe they gave I gave off the vibe that I was, like, maybe not so sexually down. But the guy was, while I was walking, he was like, hey, you know it's all male hours right now, right? And I was like, yeah, dude, like, whatever.
Good looking out for that guy, though.
Yeah,
he's trying to help you, dude. He's
he
was, like,
he was saying, go away.
Go
I'm
away,
so dumb.
Dude.
I'm so dumb. And I was like, okay, like, what? Like, people are naked? Like, pfft, who cares? And so I go in there, and I start off in the East Village. One has, like, 10 different rooms in the basement.
And I started off in one. I can't remember the name of it. And there's some guys kind of like massaging each other. And I was like, that's interesting. I
haven't seen people like touch each other before.
You didn't get a vibe immediately from that?
Dude, no. I'm so stupid. And like, I'm so oblivious.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is interesting vibe here. These guys are massaging each other. Obviously, there's some gay men in here. I'm not sure.
Obviously, I want a massage.
Did you feel envious?
I don't know if everyone here is gay or just these guys or like, you know, what's going on. Anyway, I get out of this one. I go to another sauna room, and I walk in, and there's just three guys jerking each other off in a triangle.
Whoa.
And I was like,
it's good afternoon, bro.
This is 4 p.m. on a Thursday, and I just closed the door. I was like, oh, okay, this is
the private party.
This is gay in here. But I'd already paid. It's $60, dude. And so I was like, I can't go. Like, I'm like, I've been looking forward to this all week. I've been trying to get my sweat on. I just have to stick this out. And so I kind of, and like, it was really interesting. Like the jerking each other off vibe just kind of like traveled from room to room. It wasn't like, sometimes you'd be in a room and then like certain folks would kind of like shuffle in and you'd be like, all right, well, it's probably about time that people are going to start jerking off. I got to get out of this one. And then I went into this other room. They have, it's called the Russian room, and it's like super duper hot. And they have this big stove in there. It's really, it's kind of like, it's very scary.
It's pretty ironic for a place called the Russian room to be the hottest place in the bathhouse.
Bazing.
Bazing. That's what it was called.
No.
Oh.
And there is just a bunch of Orthodox Jews, and they're singing.
That's pretty gay.
Yo, that's pretty sick.
Well, that's what I was,
you
like,
got the Hasids going in there?
They were like all just in there like singing these crazy songs.
Were they gay Hasids?
No. No, they were like doing their own thing. It was this crazy thing, this
that
crazy
was a cover.
crazy coexistence of like dudes jerking off each other in one room and Orthodox Jewish men singing ancient songs in another. And to round it out, none of it felt very competitive.
It was all love, you know. It was all fucking love.
Even the ultra orthodox were like, you know, love is love.
Love is love, bro.
None of it felt super competitive. At no point did I think anyone was
all bigotry, prejudices, envy, and jealousy.
Oh, and here's like,
drop at the door.
Okay, and here's another interesting interaction, though. Like, similar to like the climbing gym sexual politics that are flying around and no one really knows what to do with him. Like, this guy sat down in the steam room like in front of me, and he started jerking off like to me, basically. He's like looking at me, and
fire.
I think he was trying to like instigate like a co-jack off.
Oh.
And I couldn't be like, oh no, I'm not gay and I accidentally came here on the wrong day. Cause you can't just say that, right?
Like, no, did you have a mustache at the time?
Yeah.
Well,
and
yeah.
To be
dude,
fair,
what are you doing?
You're
just a fucking tease at the gay fucking
spot. This is a very good
spot.
Point, Fraser. This is a very good point.
And so I was like, well, yeah. I was like, I can't say like, no, dude, don't do that.
Don't come on me, man. Come on.
It's not even like.
So
don't,
I just had to like. I just like looked at my feet. I just looked ashamed.
So you just dissociated?
Pretty much. I was like, I'm not getting out.
Yeah, now, bro.
Okay, so it
paid
like,
$60
it
bucks.
Like, so it wasn't like traumatizing. It was you like.
No,
it was you just like looking, going like, no. Like this is my seat.
I mean,
my seat.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's
okay.
Yeah. Like, what else? What are you supposed to? What are you supposed to do?
Start jerking off.
I guess, yeah.
With him,
yeah,
I
yeah,
mean,
yeah,
make him feel
probably,
comfortable.
Yeah, you probably
yeah,
felt pretty
anyway,
uncomfortable.
Yeah, quick announcement for any of our listeners, if you are experiencing, if you're any of our male listeners, experiencing any type of sexual curiosities, a discreet way to figure out where you stand is to go down to the East Village Russian-Turkish Baths between the hours of 9 p.m. and 4 p.m., and you can explore all you want. It's a very nice crowd. And you know, do
it's good. It's a way to dip your toe right in.
Yeah,
it's not like any
yeah.
like it's not hardcore or anything. It's just jerking off with the boys.
Yeah. My mom's gonna listen to this one.
Oh yeah, this is gonna be a good.
Wait.
I think I told her this story. Whatever.
This is gonna be a good
dude.
One.
moms don't know their sons jerk off. That's
okay. No.
Yeah. Moms don't know their sons go to gay bathhouses to accidentally watch other men jerk off.
You need to relax.
Moms know. Moms probably think worse.
No, they might not know to that extent, but they know.
They know.
They know.
They're making up worse stories in their head. They're being like, dear. Yeah, Jake like sought out to go to the gay Russian bathhouse at this time.
I knew. I was on the internet. I said, when is the gayest time to go?
When is it?
9 to 4 p.m.
Yeah, it's a long slot.
That's a nice, dude. You can be gay for a while. How long
does...
That's almost
9 to 5.
So if you pay $60, can you get there at 9 and stay till 4?
Yeah, all day, dude.
Oh, dude, you'd be dried out. You get like a stamp on your hand so you can come back.
They have a full kitchen there. They'll cook you. They have great food too.
A full kitchen.
This doesn't sound like a bad afternoon at all.
It was awesome. I mean, it's awesome. It's like it's the coolest bathhouse. We got some hard truths.
Hard truths, bro.
We're getting real. I mean, we've covered a lot of ground
in this house. Have you seen those signs? You know what I'm talking about?
In this house, we support.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've seen.
Oh, yeah. Signs. Actually, my parents have that house. In this house, we I know. Ooh. We believe love is love.
In this
blah
house.
Blah blah.
And this, black, yeah, black I like. Matter, well, yeah. I wonder about the company. I mean, there's this one that was in my North Carolina house, my family's house neighborhood. And it was like, it was very confusing. It was like, we back the blue, we believe in science, and
wow, it was really confusing.
A woman's body is her body, and. But it was like,
it's a libertarian house to a degree.
I was like, but where?
But
I was like,
the
where
the?
They
I
love
was
the
like,
cop. Libertarians don't
fuck
like the
did
cop.
You get that sign?
Yeah,
made it. My my uncle's a sign printer. Dude.
I will say like those
custom
signs.
Made it, yeah.
I will say those signs. Like, there's a family friend like back in like my hometown of Virginia where he recently came out. And he's like,
in this house,
what?
My son is gay.
Yeah.
In this house, we're actually all gay.
He came out and he said that he felt perfectly fine saying that, and he felt perfectly fine like feeling that way and walking into family friends' house, particularly my parents, because they had that sign out there. He felt comfortable being like that. So I can see that it serves some degree of purpose.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You fucking bigotry. Get it out of the way, bro. You fucking bigot, dude. You know, you don't wear your fucking your beliefs on your sleeve, kid.
Yeah. Well, looking...
I mean, like, at the end of the day, everyone's going to be persona non grata, like, eventually.
I think I'm just too much of a hater. Yeah, I think, like, I wish I could, like, see that and not be cynical about it. And yeah, that's cool that the guy was like smooth brained enough to be down for that sign.
Yeah, he was like, fuck you, this guy's a good, fuck you, man. Fuck you, that's a good guy.
Oh, there's NPR listeners in here. I feel this is my safe space.
Yeah. Did you hear that the count of Israeli deaths hit 200 yesterday?
200 Israeli IDF soldiers killed.
Yeah,
damn.
Isn't that crazy?
They went
like,
off.
Like, isn't like that crazy? Like, compared to the number of people they've killed.
Yeah, are we getting into that?
Are we gonna talk about that?
Might as well, right?
Might as well.
Kanye West.
I think
right.
That's why.
Okay.
So
no, you went, Frazier. Once again, you went too far.
Man, what a but like that's the thing, right? Like you like
I'm not gonna
it's not complicated. Nothing's complicated.
It
is
not
complicated.
Not complicated. Not like here's what I like.
It's not anti-Semitic.
It's dude. Not. It's to go against
prove it.
To go against what is essentially is a vassal state for American empire, and because it is the only ally we have in that region that unequivocally supports us, and we unequivocally support. And we have, like, we've given them, like, $300 billion not adjusted to inflation since 1960. Like, we've given them nothing but weapons.
Yeah.
They have the fourth largest military in the world. And they are founded, like America, on genocidal actions and capitalistic notions. And, like, we have done... horrible things. We have let horrible things happen.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, well, not all of a sudden, it's a gradual take on a group of people that have been subjugated, that have elected a group of people like Hamas that are terrible individuals.
I don't believe it.
You might not believe that. You might not believe that. One man's terrorists is one man's freedom fighters. I don't think that they are necessarily good freedom people fighters, or within bro. Good standing. I think that someone who supports a group like that certainly does have possible anti-Semitic backgrounds or anti-Semitic tendencies.
Shoot.
Ooh, jeez. But you look at that issue. You look at this, like, it's not even a conflict. Hamas was voted in 2006, and over half of the people that are living in Gaza right now weren't even born at that point. It's like, it's basically the distance between Stamford, Connecticut, and New Haven, Connecticut. That's how long this place is. It's the most densely populated country in the area in the world, like, in terms of, like, volume of buildings. And there was a horrible event that took place, which was most UN groups and most human rights groups describe Gaza as an open-air prison. You look at what's happened to all these people. What do you think is going to happen to a bunch of people who have had nothing but hate and an apartheid regime? What do you think would happen to people like us if we were put in that position? We would be thinking some pretty wild shit. We'd be saying
we would
some
be terrorists.
Wild shit. We would be horrible people. We would turn into horrible people. Like, both things can be true. Hamas, bad. Israel's actions towards the people of Gaza is awful. And you could say both are bad. I don't think it's an anti-Semitic thing to say that Israel is responsible for a large number of a large amount of the state of play in which it's happened. You can propagandize all you want, but every human rights group and every single, like, independent organization outside of Israel and the United States has said that this is the wrong action. And if you have a problem with that, then you are complicit in genocide, and this is no better than what we were talking about, like the Hutus and the Tutsis. It's no better than what we did in Indonesia. It's no better than what we've done in so many other proxy wars that we've been involved in, yet we feel that there's some sort of moral equivalence. But I'm sorry, like, there's no moral equivalence between... No, there's no moral gray area between what Israel is doing and what other genocidal regimes have done. One's national group identity, ancestry, and heritage does not excuse that group or that government that is representative of that group of moral scrutiny. And that's the problem that I have with all these things. You can't say that I'm being anti-Semitic when I absolutely think that the Jewish religion is one of the more beautiful religions. In my opinion, they've kind of figured
no
it out.
No heaven or hell.
Like it's a beautiful thing. The Jewish people are beautiful. And by the way, they have been the most maligned. They're the most maligned group in the history of mankind.
We love the Jewish people.
I love the Jewish people.
Beautiful Jewish people.
I love the Jewish people.
I love the Jews.
Am I wrong?
They're beautiful. They're beautiful.
Am I wrong? There's nothing wrong with being Jewish or believing that Israel has a right to exist. There's nothing wrong with believing that. There is something wrong with believing that you think...
Well, I don't believe they have a right to Israel at all.
I don't think they got a right at all.
That shit made up, dude.
That shit made up, bro.
Well, so are we, but it exists.
Everything's made up, bro.
We did that. Yeah.
It exists. Like, to say that Israel doesn't have a right to exist is a completely losing argument.
It happened, like, pretty recently. You could still take it away if you wanted
but,
to.
Yeah.
Okay, then you can say the same thing about Georgia.
The state?
Give it to
Mexico, bro. I don't care.
Run it, dude.
Do they want Georgia? We'll give it to them.
Yeah.
We'll give them Mississippi.
We might have
and
to cut
Georgia.
Out that whole spiel.
I think that was a good spiel, man.
I think it's good. Yeah. I
think that was fire. I think we hadn't said anything smart the whole podcast.
You,
like, you really carried us there.
Let's get conspiratorial smart.
Oh, no.
So,
no,
Robert
that's
Maxwell.
Not,
oh, wait,
wait. That's not smart.
So, Robert Maxwell, Mossad. Agent.
Oh, yeah. Ghislaine Maxwell's dad.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He sort of created this whole situation where there is sort
not
of...
Not the Gaza situation.
Not the Gaza, but the reason that we are funding such a heavy hitter like Israel so much is possibly because Mossad agents do kind of own every American politician right now, at least the ones that count, for being able to sign over the big bucks, is what I would say. And he kind of enterprised and began sort of the full destruction of owning such things like fucking England, America, just to siphon out money from us by blackmailing our politicians. I mean, we're not going to talk about, like, Prince Andrew to a Bill Clinton to people like that, but those people did sign some documents.
Or Matt Groening.
Yeah, Matt Groening for sure, bro. But those people did sign some documents pretty quick being like, yo, fucking Israel's dope.
Yeah.
And why would they do that? Why would these huge empires be like, yeah, we fuck with Israel so heavy. We've never done anything bad. I promise. And then somehow they all have. They all have done terrible, terrible things that is complete hearsay, at least for the American and, you know, British or whatever, English public. But there is an inkling of, why do we give them so much money? Why does America support Israel so heavy? If it's not for these reasons of them being able to buy arms and that we do have manufacturers over there. But it's also got to be deeper than we think they're white guys. Because they're not. A lot of people who were born in Israel and shit aren't just like your common fucking white America white guy. Yeah. You're fucking WASP. So it's not that. There's another reason why we are supporting them as a government so fucking heavy.
I would agree with the fact that, like, yes, there's definitely a connection between the Robert Maxwell, Ghislaine Maxwell, Jeffrey Epstein foundation of blackmail and scandal that created a culture that basically owned a lot of politicians, that created a sphere of influence that could possibly allow for more, that could possibly allow for more funding and more of aid going to a state like Israel.
Oh, yeah.
But it's also, I think that it's even simpler than that. I think the main reason is simpler
than
that.
That's a theory.
I think the fact of the matter is we want another state in the Middle East that represents some degree of our interest.
A Western experience.
Democracy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's why Israel gives so much leniency to Americans. Not just American Jews, just Americans.
But do we care that much as Americans?
No, we do. Because
do we care about culture or do we care about money more?
We care more. The thing is, it's often tied into both. That's the thing. I think it's often tied into both. And, like, there, if you actually look at, like, the Jewish population in America, there's a lot of, like, of course, Zionists out there. But if you actually look at, like, you know, the ultra-Orthodox, the people that were sitting in that bathhouse, Jake, almost, there's a large, like, community of the 200,000 people who live in Brooklyn in the Crown Heights region that are incredibly anti-Zionist because they believe that there is, that, like, having, like, quote-unquote, a Jewish ethno-state goes against what the Torah is.
But, like, the reason that some of those people are anti-Israeli is because of, like, they don't want a, like, modern state to exist. They don't want, like, women to be able to read and shit.
Kind of funky about, like, really tan, like, Israelite. They're like, yeah, dude, I don't know.
They don't like Israel because of the raves.
They don't like it just because they party too hard.
Yeah.
Actually,
yeah, I don't think they're really on that Palestine tip.
No,
but like, hey, listen, you kind of like take whatever like ally you can get sometimes.
Sometimes you do. Like I think that, like sometimes you actually do. Like how we sided with the communists in World War II. We sided with the communists not only in World War II. We sided with the communists.
Cool
in
magazine
World
would
War
like
One.
To stick an olive branch out to the Orthodox community of New York.
Jake, you are right.
That's how fascism, bro. Bring it back. I'm done with this.
You're right, Jake. That there's probably a lot of like sordid motivations behind like why that group is there, but like there's also a lot of sordid motivations of why Christians are so Zionist in America right now. They believe that Jesus will come back. if you have all of Israel owned by like a Jewish ethno state, right, so that the Messiah can kill them all.
Let's kick out everyone in Israel and just bring in the black Israelites. They're the new founders of that land. 2025,
bro. Kyrie Irving would love.
We're giving it. Kyrie can be the fucking prime minister, bro. Yeah. We're giving it over.
Nah, not making the prime minister. Making like the secretary of the treasury. He's good with his money.
He saw one movie one time and he gets kicked off a fucking team. Yeah, how dare he? We watch movies all the time, bro.
My bad.
He wasn't even watching bum fights, bro.
So, they've been kind of on Kyrie recently. There was like these Orthodox Jews that actually were at a Utah Jazz game.
They like Kyrie.
No, they were like going, "Hey, Kyrie!" Like they were holding up signs, going like, "I'm a Jew and I'm proud" and stuff like that. And Kyrie was like looking at them and like they were kind of like heckling him. And the security guard like grabbed the sign from the Jewish guy holding the sign. And I'm like, wow, they weren't doing that last year when Kyrie.
They'd be like, oh.
They were like showing support. So like, what happened? Like in the
end, people like Kyrie again.
Like, why is all of a sudden
the tides have changed, bro?
Because that motherfucker can ball.
He can ball, bro. Kanye West can rap. Bring him back, bro. We're sorry.
It is the state of the American consciousness. We don't have the capacity to entertain a thought or a belief for longer than 6 months.
Yeah,
like it really just doesn't matter. Like, fuck it. Like, I mean, we might go to the championship this year, though. Like, we need that guy.
Yeah, Mark Cuban's like, you can say all you want, man, as long as you just like, you know, stay off Twitter a little bit.
Yeah. Like, and dude, Kyrie's sick. I'm a Kyrie fan because he proved like actually how spineless the NBA and American professional sports are. And the NBA is, like, a pretty good league, and they actually, like, are pretty, like, progressive in their, like,
I would
corporate politics.
100%.
I would agree with that. I would agree with that. Shout out the NBA.
Great work.
We'd like to put out another olive branch to the
NFL,
NBA.
NFL, not so much. NBA doing better somehow. Yeah.
No, but, like, Kyrie literally proved, like, you can say whatever you want as long as you fucking ball. Like, it just doesn't matter.
Yeah, but the thing that I like,
hey, dress
I
is cool.
Shout out, dude.
I think Kyrie.
It
like,
means
as a
nothing, team. Dude. This company is built on entertainment, and that entertainment is built on basketball. And guess what? I'm so good at basketball.
I think Kyrie is an incredible basketball player, and I love the way that he plays the game. But that. Excuse me. And one thing that I really appreciate about him is that he's an incredible athlete. He doesn't have like all the athletic skill. He just balls.
I can't even remember what he said, dude.
I was so amazed by the balling. I don't watch basketball. I like him for his politics.
But the thing is that what I don't respect about him is that he is somebody up until this year had a track record of being someone who didn't want to play basketball, which was what he was getting paid for. Like, he decided, no, I don't want to do this. And him not getting, like, I know that, like, everyone has, like, their feeling about, like, the vaccine and whatever, and you can have your feeling.
He's anti-vax, he's flat earth, he's black Israelite.
The fucking Israelite man, bro.
He's kind of the fucking man.
He's the McDonald triad of being,
well, the thing is that we don't know is, like, he can't be the only one in the NBA that thinks that, right?
No, not at all. And Jaylen Brown.
There has to be
thing.
Like he has
shout
to.
Shout out Jaylen Brown. Sounds like here we go, baby.
He's a superstar. He like someone has to be in his corner. Be
yes,
like,
100%.
Don't say that. Don't say that.
No, there's 100% somebody. Like,
you show me a picture of the Earth.
Show me a fucking picture of that shit.
But he's a.
You, where,
it's flat.
Did you take it? Yeah.
Did you take that?
Yeah. No, go fly in an airplane. Flat.
Flat.
But he doesn't. But the thing I don't like about Kyrie is that, like, one thing that I thought that was so disrespectful about him was that he compared himself with his anti-vax shit. He compared himself to Bill Russell.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, can you be any more tone deaf than that? Can you be any more tone deaf than like he was the first? He was the first really black like superstar for like a guy who couldn't shoot. All he could do was rebound and play defense. Yet he was the biggest star in basketball.
You're saying the comparison is not fit because Kyrie is way better.
No, I'm saying that the man is way doper.
Because Kyrie can shoot like fuck.
The man did so much for like breaking down barriers
in the NBA and in professional basketball, and he withstood so much shit. Look up his Wikipedia page. He went through some crazy shit. When he didn't win his 8th finals, do you know what people did? They went into his fucking home in Boston, this liberal safe haven. They went into his fucking home in Boston, and they took their own shit. They smeared it on the walls and said the N-word on it. They defecated in his bed. They broke his windows. This is after he didn't win his 7th or 8th championship in a row. Are you fucking kidding me? Like this, and you, and Kyrie Irving has, like, of course, this is me, a white guy saying this, but Kyrie Irving has the gall.
Kyrie got no poop on his wall.
Not get a vaccine.
Kyrie has no poop on his
wall. And no vax in his blood, bro. He's a man.
Kyrie said,
"Fuck off."
Kyrie said, "Keep your poop off my wall."
I get so charged up about this because you can't say that.
Give Kyrie Israel. I'm done with this. Kick everyone out. Give it to Kyrie and all. Anyone who wants to claim Black Israelite now, you get it.
You got it. You're a new man. Kyrie went into the White House after he won the championship in 2016 and said, "Yes, I am now a political figure." That's exactly what he probably thought.
Oh,
when he won with LeBron, when he made that shot over Steph, he like comes in and like hangs out with Obama or something like that, and he goes, "Yes, I am a political figure."
Call me Gen Z, but Kyrie is my LeBron.
Get the fuck out of here.
Kyrie's done more for the community in the.
Hell no.
All right, let's begin the sign out. 2 hours. That's more than enough. Here we go.
Might even have an hour, minute 30, an hour 30.
No, dude, we definitely have an hour 30. We got 45 minutes right there.
Hell yeah.
When I get to chopping. Yeah, same deal as always. It always being 2 weeks now. We're doing the Patreon thing. If you want to subscribe to it for free, you'll get all the podcasts. If you want to subscribe to any of the paid options, you'll get every magazine that comes out this year or as long as you are subscribed. That's about it. I got nothing else. Thanks for listening, guys. What do you think?
I think we did great. This episode's way funnier than number one.
You think so?
And also, yeah, I gotta meet this critiquer. They gotta make me laugh in real life if they can.
You already met him. It was Anthony.
He did not make me laugh. How about that? No Riz. No funny business, bro. Boy's Rizless. Anthony, if you listen to this one, dog, you ain't funny.
I'll sign off by saying that anything incorrect that I said probably comes from my lack of knowledge and informative.
Shut up.
Yeah, hey, listen. I'm just trying to make sure that
I'm smarter than all the listeners.
Don't backpedal, dude.
Trying to make sure I'm fair.
It's on the record. Don't backpedal. They know that. They know it.
If Matt's smarter than me, he might be smarter than God.
All right. Well, I'll say that I love you all, and I hope that you all enjoy the listen in whatever iteration this is. And I love you, wife.
Good night. All right. Bye.